Welcome to this episode of In the Word with a Wesleyan and a Lutheran. Today, Pastor Corey, the Wesleyan pastor, will not be able to join us. He is on vacation with his family. And so I am just going to take over today talking about false gods and Daniel chapter 5 this evening or this afternoon. This evening, I get to join Pastor Craig Moorman, the former interim pastor here at First Lutheran Church, and study Daniel chapter 5. So what I'm going to do for this segment is just to highlight one verse and then kind of talk about that and the implications for our modern world and society in which we live. So thank you again for joining in. If I actually get to see some of the comments today, I will put some of them on the screen and talk about them. In the meantime, I will be keeping sure that I check my phone as best as I can to try to get those comments so we can address them and talk about them. Thank you again. And so here we are in Daniel chapter 5. I'm going to share my screen with you from Logos Bible Software and read it to you. So let's see. I know I can enlarge this screen. Oh, too big. All right. So I'm just going to highlight chapter 4 here for us. So we're in Daniel chapter 5, verse 4. This says, they drank wine and praised gods of gold, silver, of bronze, iron, and wood. So let's talk about that. What sin are they violating in the worship of these gods? Well, I can tell you, as I'm reading through some of the commentary, it makes it quite clear in verses 2 through 4, what is going here with Belshazzar and King Nebuchadnezzar. So Belshazzar, the king, held a great feast for 1,000 of his nobles, and he was drinking wine in the presence of the 1,000. And when Belshazzar tested the wine, he gave orders to bring the gold and silver vessels which Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, so the king and his nobles and his wives and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken out of the temple, the house of God, which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles and his wives and his concubines drank out of them. And they drank the wine and praised gods of gold, silver, and bronze, iron, and wood, and stone. And suddenly the fingers of a man had emerged and began writing opposite of the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the back of the hand that did the writing. And the king's face grew pale, and his thoughts alarmed him. His hip joints went slack, and his knees began knocking together. So I want us to envision the scene in this text this morning. They took the Holy of Holies, the gold cups and chalices from the temple of God, and were drinking and feasting on wine and only God knows what else, and desecrated holy things of God for evil. In fact, our commentary today labels this section of chapter 5 simply blasphemy. So I want us to think through our own lives this morning of things that may be considered blaspheming against God. What are those things in verse 4? Maybe we don't take it to the extreme. You know, we're not taking the chalice out of our congregation. And certainly as the pastor would never allow such a thing. And I have many chalices at home that are in some ways sacred to me, not because of it being a cup or a chalice, but because of the sacrament in which the Lord uses to bless his people. But what are those things in our life that are truly false gods? You know, I asked our congregation here at First to do some simple work during the month of Lent. I asked them before they left the sanctuary yesterday, before they left the doors, what was that one thing during Lent that they were going to give up? And likewise, what was the thing that they were going to take up? Because Lent is not just about giving up something, but in fact, taking up some type of spiritual discipline. And so that was the homework. And so my goal during Lent is that I'm going to spend less time on this phone. So I have 40-something days to try to create a new habit in me. And I mentioned it in church, you know, social media, unfortunately, as a pastor nowadays, is a must. We can't simply just give it up. I mean, obviously, we're here this morning, right? And I'm using social media to spread the good news of Jesus to people, to congregations, to members of our church. So I can't just give up social media. However, as I discussed, I don't have to spend 3 hours of my evening from the time of about, 9 o'clock at night to midnight, scrolling through my phone, watching videos or whatever I'm doing. In fact, I'm going to take up some spiritual discipline. And one of the things I think I'm going to do is read through the Book of Common Prayer that our Episcopal and Anglican brothers and sisters follow on a regular basis. I love the Book of Common Prayer. It's got some beautiful language in there for us. So when it's late at night, I can't think of what to say, it gives me some words. In fact, one of the Book of Common Prayers is called the Book of Common Prayer for Ordinary Radicals. It was a great book that I studied throughout my seminary journey. So perhaps I'll read that each evening. So what are the false gods in our life? What are the false gods? What do we need to remove from our life in order to grow closer to God? Again, we're not going to be as bold as to take out religious artifacts from the church and then desecrate them. Now, I will tell you, back in a couple months ago, there was a news article of a priest and some horrible things that happened in the New Orleans area, that they literally desecrated a sacred worship space. And my heart broke. So know that this is happening. There is evil in the world. The devil is at work to desecrate places of worship. And in fact, I worry as churches close down, spaces that were once religious, once used for God's glory, who knows what they're going to be used for. So let us, we need to preserve the church around this country, preserve Christianity, so that people can know Jesus and these sacred spaces don't go into the wrong hands. And so then it talks about in this scripture from Daniel chapter 5 that once again he saw a dream. And I love how, as we go fast forward to verse 13, it says Daniel interprets the handwriting on the wall. So have you heard this old expression, that's the handwriting on the wall? Now, I can't tell you for a fact that's where it came from, but it certainly would make sense. And so I ask you to ask that question of yourself. What is that false god in your life that's the handwriting on the wall? That you know that you need to remove it from your life. I ask you, as members of Christ's body, the church, many of you maybe that are watching me are not members at First Lutheran, and that's great. That's okay. Some of you may be members at Faith Wesleyan, perhaps. But regardless, wherever you're a member of a church, I want you to think about those things in your churches that you say, well, we've always done it that way, so we have to do it this way. That too can become a false god. And I'm just as guilty of these things in my own life and in my ministry. Well, that's just how I do it, right? But in fact, the Lord calls us not to have false gods in our life. And so we need to be able to move forward together and to think about those things. So I love how Daniel is always brought forth to do the interpretation, right? And Daniel was brought before the king, and the king spoke and said to Daniel, "Are you the Daniel who's the one of the exiles from Judea, whom my father the king brought from Judea? Now I have heard about you, and the spirit of the gods is in you, and that illumination, insight, and extraordinary wisdom have been found in you. Just now, the wise men and the conjurers were brought in before me that they might read the inscription and make this interpretation known to me. But they could not declare the interpretation of the message." Now let us think back to Daniel chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. When the king brought forth these, you know, people that should have been able to interpret dreams, right? Basically, I kind of think of modern day tarot card readers. Let's see, what's some other ones? Witches. There's this whole organization I've talked about, Christian witches, which is an oxymoron. You can't be a witch and a Christian. You got all of these people that you think should be able to interpret the dream, but only the ones that God deems, Daniel in this case, and his friends are able to do the interpretation of these dreams. Because it's God, right? It's the same thing as a pastor. Yeah, I get up and I write a sermon every week, and I try really hard every week to have new content and not to repeat myself. 48 Sundays out of the year, I am learning. It's kind of hard not to repeat yourself once in a while, so I apologize for that. But it is what it is. It's the Holy Spirit, God speaking through me the best that I can. So I try to open my heart and my mind that despite me and my failures, that the Lord will work and the Lord will speak. So that's what's going on in these passages, I believe, from Daniel too. It's God speaking through Daniel, right? But I have personally heard about you, that you're able to give interpretations and solve difficult problems. Now, if you are able to read this inscription and make its interpretation known to me, you will be clothed with purple and wear a necklace of gold around your neck. And you'll have the authority as a third ruler in the kingdom. And then Daniel answered, said before the king, keep your gifts for yourself or give your reward to someone else. However, I will read the interpretation for the king to the king and make the interpretation known to him. O king, the most high God granted sovereignty, grandeur, glory, and majesty to Nebuchadnezzar, your father. Because of your grandeur, which he bestowed on him, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language feared and trembled before him. Whoever he wished, he was killed, and whomever he wished, he spared alive, and whomever he wished to be elevated, and whomever he wished to be humbled. But when his heart was lifted up, and his spirit became so proud that he behaved arrogantly, he was disposed from his royal throne, and his glory was taken away from him. So let's talk about this a little bit. So again, I've mentioned here at church, Christianity, the faith, has nothing to do with worldly power or authority. It has all to do with humility. So think about Jesus as we fast forward to the New Testament. How did Jesus represent himself? You know, the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, at least my understanding of that is they were expecting a powerful ruler to come in and basically clean slate, right, and to redeem the Jewish people. But instead, he comes as a baby in humility. And the book of Romans, Paul tells us that he took the form of a slave servant and became flesh. So here we are once again. We rewind to Daniel chapter 5, where, in fact, God punished the father because of his arrogance, it says. It says, because of the grandeur which he bestowed on him, and all the people, nations, men of every language feared and trembled before him, and whoever he wished killed, and whoever he wished to be spared alive, and whoever wished to be elevated, and whoever he wished to be humbled. But when his heart was lifted up, and his spirit became so proud that he behaved arrogantly, he was exposed from his royal throne and his glory was taken away. So I think of that old saying, at least we used to say it down home in the South, the Lord give it and the Lord can take it away. The Lord give it and the Lord can take it away. I believe this on all things, right? That the Lord is responsible for everything. The Lord is responsible for First Evangelical Lutheran Church of Gray Manor. The Lord is responsible for myself and my life. He's responsible for all that is going on around us. From Genesis chapter 1 to the last book of Revelation, God created it all. And God is the King. God is the Lord of Lords. And so when we believe that we are like God, the Lord can and will take it away from us. That's my belief. And so I look at the world around us and I wonder how many people act arrogantly and proud because they have so much that they've done, they've accomplished, that they fail to recognize who has given it to them. God. And I look at dictators around the world who claim to be God. And I wonder, I really do, when that will be taken away from them. He was also driven away from mankind, and his heart was made like that of beast. And his dwelling place was with wild donkeys, and he was given grass to eat like cattle. And his body was drenched with the dew of heaven, till he recognized that the Most High God is the ruler of all the realm, of all mankind, and that he sets over it whomever he wishes. Yet you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your hearts, even though you knew all of this. But you have exalted yourself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your nobles and your wives and your concubines have been drinking wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze and iron and wood and stone, which do not see, hear, or understand. But the God in whose hand are your life breath and all your ways, you have not glorified. My goodness, how many of us have failed to recognize what God is doing? Every Sunday in church, I do as my home pastor did, and I ask people, I've started to ask, where have you seen God this week? Where is God at work in your life? And if we can't recognize what God is actively doing in our lives, then what's the point? The point is not to come to church and to receive our sacraments and then leave this place and have no relationship with him. Because then what happens is the church becomes a place of spiritual goods and spiritual services. And that's all we are. We're just another thing that you do during the week. In fact, what the church is about is helping you have that relationship with the Lord of Lords, right? The one true God. And when we look at the world around us, how do we glorify God? In fact, I really think we're leading astray from that in our life. As a nation, we have some real turning around to do. To go back to being faithful. Now, we can look at our country from the time it was founded, and absolutely, there has been sin from day one. We can't just imagine it was the good old days, when the good old days weren't really here in some ways, right? We had slavery, and we killed Native Americans for their land. And we did some pretty horrible things. I'm not saying we should continue to suffer for them, but the point is we have to recognize them. And so in some ways we've grown, in some ways we have regressed back to that sin. So let the hand that was sent from him, and the inscription was written out. Now this is the inscription that was written out, and I'm not going to pretend to read that for you. This is the interpretation of the message. God has numbered your kingdom and put an end to it. Tekel, you have weighed on the scales and found deficient. Defiant. No, deficient. Pearls, your kingdom has been divided and given over to Medes and the Persians. And then Belshazzar gave orders, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a necklace of gold around his neck and issued a proclamation concerning him that he now had the authority as the third ruler of the kingdom. And that same night, Belshazzar and the Chaldean king was slain. So Darius the Med received the kingdom at about age 62. So I want us to highlight this. When we do not follow the command of the Lord, we in some ways can be held accountable. And I believe that God holds those in charge to a higher standard. That's not just spiritually, but worldly authority. that he holds them accountable. And so it's not my job on a daily basis to hold them accountable. I have to let the good Lord do that. So I've let go and let God, and I continue to kind of say that as being the pastor here to my congregation, that in all things we have to let go and let God. And that is a very difficult task at hand, because there's things that we want to control in our own lives. We want the authority. We think and believe, because we work hard, that we have that right. But the fact is, we need to turn to God. We need to discern what he's saying. And so that's my challenge over this Lenten period, is for both my church and in my own personal life, that we truly discern what the Lord is saying to us. How is God speaking? And I gave a sermon called The Voice of God, in which I talked about all of this. You're welcome to go back and listen on my podcast. And again, you can go to pastorblue.org. It'll get you straight to my podcast. The website's going under renovations right now. But if not, I'll also post a link. The Voice of God, discerning his voice and trying to figure out what that means for you in your life. So this evening, I just encourage you, again, to continue to think about what in your life during Lent you need to give up. What do you need to take up? Because we certainly don't want to be like Belshazzar in Daniel chapter 5 today. We don't want to be taking things that and using them not for God's purposes. That's our life too. Our life belongs to the good Lord. And so we don't want to be slain. We don't want to be removed. We don't want to be really, you know, cast out and accused of blasphemy. Blasphemy is, as the scripture tells us, the only unforgivable sin. So I'm not going to go into that in detail, but it's an unforgivable sin according to scripture, at least my understanding of it. I challenge you to go read up on that. And so in this case, I can't be the judge and jury, but if truly he was blaspheming and never repented of that blasphemy, we will not see Belshazzar in the kingdom of heaven one day. So again, you got to ask yourself, who in those, the people in your life that you know, do you know some people that are committing blasphemy? Really, that denial of who God is, that's what he was accused of. Basically didn't care that the one true God, that these were holy items, but in fact used them for worldly pleasure. So think about that in your own life and what you need to do if you need to repent of any of those types of sins. And think about those around you. You know people that have committed blasphemy that need to get on their hands and knees before the Lord and ask for forgiveness. Because we certainly don't want anyone that we know not to be in paradise with us upon our exit from earth. I want to see my family. I want to see my friends on the other side. And so we have, our job as Christians has eternal consequences. Those eternal consequences mean it lasts forever and ever and ever. The 100 years that some of us live is really a short time, a really short time. So we better make the most of it. We better bring others to know Jesus. So this is my word for us today in this episode of In the Word with a Wesleyan and a Lutheran. I'm sorry that Pastor Corey could not join us today. Like I said, he's on vacation with his family. It's more of a staycation, but he needs it. I plan on taking a 2-week vacation sometime before August. So I'm looking forward to that as well. Man, if COVID wasn't going around right now here in the Washington, D.C. metro area, it would be awesome. I would love to just spend 2 weeks going back and forth looking at all the museums. So maybe by August or July or something, that'll be possible. So again, look forward. If you're looking for a Bible-based church in the Baltimore metro area, we're here in Dundalk. We worship at 8:15 and 11 a.m. every Sunday morning. And then through Lent, we'll have a 7 p.m. worship service every single Wednesday. And who knows, maybe it's something I'll keep in the future. And I believe Corey's church up in Midland worships at 10:30. But check their website out as well, midlandfaith.org. again, midlandfaith.org, and you can find, again, another Bible-based church in the Midland, Michigan area. So we thank you so much, and I look forward to connecting with you in the coming days. Again, Thursdays, I have coffee with the pastor at 10 o'clock in the morning, so that'll be a great opportunity as well, and then Sunday morning. And so may God bless you and keep you. May God use you for his glory and his ministry. And as we close, I'm going to put a 30-second countdown clock on here. Please leave any comments you have, and I will try to answer them.